about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
When people talk about homosexuality, they often ask, is it a choice?
I heard it is.
Hello, what's your name?
Christian.
Well, Christian, let's see what the latest science has to say.
Oh, that.
To help us, here are two gay people.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
How much postage does it take to send a letter to Canada?
Who's it going to?
Canada. It says, Dear Canada, you.
The girls up in Canada are gorgeous, and they all play ice hockey, so they lose their teeth by age 10.
You know who else is Canadian? Justin Bieber, the Hitler of music.
You know, Hitler actually played the bassoon. So technically, Hitler was the Hitler of music.
Hello, Mexicans. Why don't you amigos go back to Canada, where you belong?
Nice work, Bugs.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Are boys dumb? Yes.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Who put a knot in your pantyhose?
Roll another one.
Dude, that was f***ing badass.
Just like the other one.
I can't believe they fell for that.
This one seems to be about.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You guys just don't get it.
Roll another one.
The blast.
Just like the other one.
You're kidding me, right?
This one seems to be about.
It's bad for America. This is bad for everybody.
I don't have another cent.
You remind me of my son. He's got Asperger's, too.
But don't bogart that joint.
What?
Just pass it around.
I'm full of pancakes.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Yes!
But just pass it on down.
And now,
put your hands in the air. Now do the hokey pokey, because that's what it's all about.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Friday, and it's the 2nd of May. I have trouble every week because, you know, I have to rank the days of the week that are my favorite in order. And I can never decide. Why do you have to do that? I can never decide whether Friday is better or Saturday is better. Like, which one makes you happier when you wake up in the morning? If you wake up on a Friday, you have a certain level of excitement. If you wake up on a Saturday, a different level of excitement. Which is better for you? I don't have to rank the days. But if I did, I would think Friday's better because, you know, you kind of start – you still have Saturday ahead of you. Mm-hmm. But you also have to get up and go to work on Friday. Wake up on Saturday, free day. Don't have to work. See, that's difficult for me because this is not really work. I don't consider this work. But you do have to get up at 4 in the morning and take a shower, get dressed, get in your car, drive away, and do a thing for a number of hours. Even if you enjoy the thing, as opposed to being able to get up and, you know, immediately go to Sports Center and just hang out on the couch eating Fruit Loops or whatever you want to do. It's a tough choice. My vote's in. I'm a Friday. You're saying Friday's better than Saturday? Friday's better than Saturday, yeah. Okay. Hey, before we get started on today's exciting Kevin and Bean show, and it is a good one, I know it's easy to ignore. And it makes sense to ignore, for the most part, weather in other parts of the country and other parts of the world. Somebody else's weather, nothing could be less significant to you, Kevin, or to me, Bean, than somebody else's weather. I happen to love weather, but, you know, like you lived in 105 degrees yesterday. That's not relevant to people who don't live there. Right. Agreed. That's why it's easy to not pay attention to what's going on with the storms and the rain in the east and in the south right now. But I don't know that I've ever seen numbers like some of these numbers. I mean, a super, super, super rainy day where you just feel like you can't get any wetter and you're as drenched as you ever get, you get about an inch and a half of rain. I mean, that's about as bad as it gets for you. Yeah, an inch and a half, 2 inches of rain, you're like, oh my God, it's practically called Noah. It's so rainy.
in parts of Florida and Alabama and Mississippi yesterday, they got 26 inches of rain.
How's that possible?
I don't understand the science. I'm sure it's effing Al Gore's fault, but
sure,
it is
a dumb
extreme rainfall, which is what they're calling it. And it's some sort of weather system that just sticks, and it's just it's like you got a tap that's just open full blast, and it's directly above you. I mean, it's even hard to – I mean, that's the kind of rain that you could sit in your house and you could literally watch the floodwaters rise. It would be moving so fast, right?
And then your house would move up, you know, start bouncing down the river. Now you're moving with it.
You joke, but, I mean, you can imagine the havoc that 26 inches of rain in a day causes. I mean, a lot of people lost houses. A lot of places were flooded. A lot of people are in boats instead of cars. I mean, it's the single rainiest day ever recorded in many parts of the country over the last day or two.
26 inches.
It's just hard to imagine that. And I don't know if you've ever had even a minor flood in your house, but you know how much, an inch of water in your basement or something like that. Destroys everything, yeah. There are people waking up with a foot of water in their house. So at the same time that's going on, a series of tornadoes went through the same area. These are EF4 tornadoes. These are winds of 180 to 200 miles an hour.
180 miles per hour?
Yes. You know, we see hurricanes and tornadoes on the news sometimes that are 100 miles an hour, and we know how bad those are. These are almost twice that.
That hit the exact same location
yes,
as the
same
rain?
Area. All part of the same weather system, yeah.
Wow.
A truck was carried from Mayflower, Arkansas to Valonia, Arkansas, a distance of about 27 miles yesterday.
A truck, an 18-wheeler truck?
Let's see here.
Or just
doesn't
pickup.
Say. Does not say
like
what
it
kind
matters,
of truck.
But, I mean, 28 miles.
27 miles,
27
yeah.
miles.
Truck is picked up by the wind and carried 27 miles. Imagine the
That's
strength
weird.
Of a storm to be able to carry something that heavy for that far. Tornado killed 15 people yesterday, by the way.
That's not it's not what you want.
It's
I know that.
Definitely not what you want. So pretty interesting stuff. Pretty crazy weather. And at least I'm glad I got the Weather Channel back on DirecTV so I can see it.
That is good news for you.
I'm just saying. I know, you know, like I said, 100-plus degrees at your house, Kevin, is no bueno. It's a little warm, a little uncomfortable. You know, you're trying to sleep at night or whatever, but at least it's not 26 inches of rain and a tornado picking you up and moving you to another town. Crazy times, effing Al Gore.
Stupid Al Gore. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you over the sound of my giant throbbing erection.
It's hockey time. Kings playing the Ducks. That series starts Saturday night, and we have Ducks player Ryan Getzlaff.
Now, he's got to be one of the best in the NHL.
He is. He is one of the best in the NHL. Yeah.
And what a smile.
And what a smile he used to have.
What a smile he used to have before he decided to play hockey.
Before he ate a puck.
Right.
What did he have, 80 stitches or something like that?
Something like that,
right back out to play.
If they have a category for best selfie of the year, he's got to win it.
Yeah. Matthew Snyder from TV Guide is going to tell us about all the new TV shows and the returning.
Now, is he bringing in his brother Michael Snyder? Because I know him.
What did I say, Matthew?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe he's bringing in Michael as well.
Good. I'm glad they're both
Thank
be
you.
Here.
Yeah.
Well, I love the Snyder boys.
The movie beat, because it is Friday. By the way, speaking of hockey playoffs, we have tickets for you as well.
Wow.
We have a game that you're going to have to play, but you can earn those tickets on today's Kevin and Bean Show. So we got that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 6.
They could make that recording a little muddier, right, if they put more gauze on the microphones?
Oh, stop it. The song rocks.
I love that song.
Oh,
I love
tell.
That song.
I can tell by the way you're slamming
No, I do, but it's just...
it could be muddier.
I'm not
it?
Slamming it. I love it. It sounds great. It's just it's unusual to hear something that is intentionally that lo-fi. That's
you
all I'm saying.
Bought the yeah, record that guy made in that phone booth.
I did buy that, yes. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying it was a choice. That's all. Hey, speaking of choices, why not listen to Ralph Garman? He's here for the first Showbiz Beat of a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
What's
stand for it.
I hear you.
It's May 2nd. May 2nd always bums me out because it reminds me that Leonardo da Vinci's dead.
What?
You know, Leonardo da Vinci died on this date in 1519, and it just always bums me out.
It does.
I did not know that.
I miss Leo.
Huh.
He's a good guy. Did a lot of good stuff.
Sure.
Made that helicopter and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drew all those nude men.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially this guy. I love that guy.
That guy was good. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy. His arms and legs akimbo. That was my radio name for years. Legs akimbo. Yeah. This must be a British list given by the several names that pop up on it. But I thought it was interesting nonetheless that the FHM magazine out of the UK has named their list of the 10 sexiest women in the world.
All right, that's good. That's good magazine right there.
FHM does good work. It's a laddie mag.
It is a laddie mag.
And here's their list of the top 10 sexiest women in the world. Let's start at 10 and work our way up. Scarlett Johansson is 10th on the list.
Wow. This better be a hell of a great
how
list.
How hot these women are.
No kidding.
9th. Again, I think this is a British list. Not so much of an impact here, but apparently the UK is still very popular. Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue, though.
Yeah, she's a good deal.
Number 8 on the list is an actress named Lucy Mecklenburg.
I don't know her.
You should look her up. Apparently the Brits are holding all the hotties for themselves.
Okay.
They're not sending them over here. Beyonce is 7th. Mila Kunis is 6th. Kaley Cuoco from The Big Bang Theory is 5th.
That's insane that she's ahead of Beyonce and Mila Kunis, by
the way. I think
she's
very sexy.
She's pretty sexy.
I agree. Yeah. She's on the list, but ahead of those.
She's sexy in a very sort of accessible, funny, just... but also would just bang your lights out kind of way.
Yeah.
Right.
She's got a thing.
I'm good with her.
I am good, too.
Nothing wrong with her on that list.
Emily Ratajkowski.
Yes.
Yes.
From Blurred Lines. Mm-hmm. Certainly makes the list. Now, here's where I pull up lame. Here's where hammy. I reached down and grabbed my hammy. Rihanna's 3rd on the list.
She's always on these lists.
I know. And I think she's talented. I think she's attractive, but
Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah.
But top 5? Yeah, I don't know.
You'd put her where, Ralph? Top 40, maybe?
Top 20.
Top 20.
Okay, just not top 5.
Are you talking about? You know.
Sure.
Then, one of my dream girls, and you probably don't know who she is, but you should look her up. She's on a soap opera in the UK called Coronation Street. Her name is Michelle Keegan.
Don't know her.
Okay. Is that a good noise?
So good.
So good.
What number are we up to on your list?
That was 2nd. Michelle Keegan was 2nd. Number one. Sexiest woman in the world, according to FHM magazine out of the UK. Any guesses? The Queen, yes. The Queen. Queen Elizabeth II.
Well, Adele, I don't.
Does he?
No, Adele didn't make the list this year.
I don't think it will be on the list, but I am personally hurt that my hottest chick of the moment is not on there, which is Kerry Washington.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
She's ridiculously hot, but agreed. I don't anticipate her.
Good. Don't anticipate her.
All right, number one.
You won't be disappointed.
This is a British thing?
No, this is a worldwide. No,
okay. Is it Katy Perry?
It is not Katy Perry.
Wow.
Is it.
What's that noise?
I think it's a French ambulance.
Oh. I don't know. I'm out.
Come on, guys. Who are we missing?
Come on. Are you missing?
Is it got to be obvious?
The biggest movie stars in the world.
It is.
Okay. Is it Angelina Jolie?
No.
Well, she's certainly in that category of attractive women who are one of the biggest movie stars. Okay.
Right now, the hottest movie star in the world, the hottest, biggest movie star in the world, female, boom.
Jennifer Lawrence?
Jennifer Lawrence, number one.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Like I said, it's a pretty good list. Except for that little Rihanna speed bump, I thought we did pretty well, FHM. So congratulations to yourselves.
And I don't know what their criteria were, but Jennifer Lawrence also wins just for being a total package, just for being an awesome person in addition to just beautiful.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Christine Baranski from The Good Wife, 62 years old today. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's going to be Hercules in a movie coming up.
Yes, he is.
It's a whole new Hercules movie for America to go, to.
It looked good in the trailer.
Yeah. Look, I think it'll be fine. That's one of America's chomping at the bit for a Hercules film.
Yeah.
He's 42 years old. David Beckham is 39. Actress Jenna Vanoy. Well, she was 6, right? She was 6 on Blossom? Is that what she was?
I don't remember.
That sounds right.
37 years old. Actress Ellie Kemper. You love her on The Office, or loved her on The Office, and in other things that she does. 34 years old.
Bridesmaids, right?
Yeah. And singer Lily Allen. Oh, she's so adorable. I just went,
she's great.
Eat her up. 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We mentioned we have hockey tickets for today. A pair of tickets to round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Kings versus Ducks. That's on the show today. Ralph Garman has tickets for you to see the K-Rock screening of Neighbors, the new Seth Rogen movie, and front row seats for Kings of Leon on today's program. We'll tell you in just a few minutes how you can win those. First, though, yesterday we were talking about a story that we just fell in love with. And I love when this happens, that the person that you were talking about in the story turns out to be listening to the show, and we ended up talking to that person. Please enjoy.
We've been talking about it all morning, a piece of viral video that has just taken the nation by storm. They've all fallen in love with, like we have here locally in Los Angeles, with the lovely and talented Courtney Friel, reporter for KTLA. She was out there covering the wildfires, trying to get some man-on-the-street interviews when this shirtless dude carrying a dog and a baseball cap walked up to her, and things, well, you'll hear for yourself.
Sir, do you live around here?
Yeah. Wow, you're super pretty. You want to go on a date sometime?
We're on the air live right now on KTLA, awesome. Actually. Do you live in one of these houses? Are you evacuating?
I live down the street. I was just checking out the fire.
What do you think of it?
It's pretty cool.
Well, all I know is we've been talking to several people coming out of here, and they are really scared. I mean, just looking at the fire, it lights up at times, and it gets really dark, almost like a tornado. That's the best way to describe it. It really seems like that is what it would be.
Welcome to my fresh hell.
Yeah.
Yep, that's Kevin's life right there.
Courtney got a little flustered when that guy sort of hit on her in the middle of a major conflagration as the world was burning. He was just concerned about getting her digits.
She did, but by the way, it seemed like she stayed in journalist mode to ask, you know, do you live around here? Yeah. You know, talking to him about the evacuation. I mean, she was definitely trying to keep the thing on track, but it is so hilarious how quickly he went from realizing how attractive she was to, oh my God, I got to get me some of that and ask her out.
Yeah. Should we talk to the lady herself?
Please.
I think
Courtney on the phone?
We have Courtney on the phone.
Hey, Courtney.
Good morning,
Hi,
Courtney.
Hi, guys. Hi. We can't believe I'm with my photographer that I worked with yesterday. We're actually driving back out to the fire now in the news van, and we just can't believe that this went viral. Like, it must be a slow news day.
Are you going out to pick up more dudes in the fire? Don't you know?
Oh, God. I hope not. I hope to not make another viral moment. And if I do, I would like to not be wearing my photographer's extra large windbreaker and have dirt and ashes all caked in my teeth. It was so nasty out there.
Yeah. It looks pretty rough.
Not too nasty for that dude.
No. When he said, hey, you're super pretty, do you want to go out? Tell me what was going through your mind. Like, how fast did it register with you that he was proposing to you on live TV?
So I was in the middle of interviewing the public information officer, you know, one of the firefighters, giving us an update. And, you know, we were kind of just going live with live coverage on KTLA. And so I just saw this guy walking up. And I mean, I had been out there watching people trying to get the heck out of there because it was pretty dangerous at one point. Even my photographer and I thought like we were going to get stuck because we were driving around looking for a good spot. And so I was just like, oh, hey, you know, are you getting out of here? And then when he's like, oh, you're so pretty. I mean, I instantly like kind of cut him off as he was.
He wasted no time, though.
I know. You know, my standard response when people ask me out, like at the grocery store or something, is, oh, can my husband and two kids come as well?
Nice. Wow, wait, you talk about putting out a fire.
If we were covering like a concert or, you know, at a baseball game or something, you'd expect those rowdy type of fans, but I was kind of caught off guard, obviously.
Courtney,
I was continuing to stumble after.
Yeah, you did ask him what he thought of the fire, though, and he said it's cool. That did happen, right?
Well, that just ticked me off. You know? I was like, all right, you know. And my, you know, my photographer thought, you know, you never know what people are going to do on live TV, so that's why he panned off right away.
He was already shirtless. You didn't want the pants to come off, too.
And the reason in a situation like this in the news, the reason you grab those people walking by is you hope that they can add to the story by being somehow involved in it. Like, hey, I'm worried about my house, or hey, you know, whatever. The last thing you expected is the dude was just out for a stroll with his dog.
I was surprised that he was there and just walking around like that. And then, you know, because most of the time I was just flagging people down as they were driving out. And they were going pretty fast. You know, they wanted to get out of there. And
they're all
like, hey,
rushing out.
Hey, we're live on KCLA. Can you talk with us?
And you thought, you
know,
finally,
I wonder if that guy knows that he has, you know, made Jimmy Kimmel in the Today Show and gone viral. I would love to find him.
Dude, yes, that dude doesn't even know he was on TV.
I think if you go to the nearest liquor store, you can find him, Courtney.
Well, it was very, very funny. And I know it's not anything you ever expect when you're out doing, especially a serious news story like this fire coverage. But you handled it well, and we enjoyed it, and we enjoy you. So we're glad you're able to come on with us.
Oh, well, thanks. Hey, since our weekend show doesn't have a promo, I'm going to promo our weekend show. 6 p.m.
Sure.
10 p.m. That's my anchor.
6 p.m.
crew.
All right.
Are you guys going to do another story in the Bunny Museum?
Oh, I love yeah. That was piece. That was our Easter kicker, by
yeah.
the way. It was not our main
that
story.
That was in your big birthday show.
Apparently, Ralph is going to.
Dedicated to your birthday.
Ralph is going to burr in your saddle all week, I understand.
I know. He gave me a hard time about that. I was like, you must have just tuned in because
yeah.
we did have a half hour news. Of real news before the kicker. You know, the kicker story.
Sure.
You need a fluffy. Kicker.
Was,
sure, the human
Easter.
Interest. It was
right.
Easter.
And the Bunny Museum people tweeted me. They were happy we gave them the coverage.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
No one else has ever paid attention to the Bunny Museum. All right, Courtney. Well, listen, be safe out there in the fire. Good luck covering that for Channel 5. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it, okay?
All right. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It is Friday morning.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
One thing I know about the movies coming out this weekend, everybody's afraid of Spider-Man. Everybody's afraid of Spider-Man.
What do you mean by that?
You got The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and then you've had like three little films that are sort of a limited release. Like, oh, don't hurt us, Spider-Man. We just want to be in this theater over here. We won't make big trouble for you, Spider-Man. Don't hurt us. So your pickings are slim this weekend. But here's what's out there. There's a film in limited release called Belle. It seems to be a very, very British relationship family drama. Just smells like PBS, this movie. That was my favorite Nirvana song, by the way.
Smells like PBS?
Yeah. It is about an illegitimate mixed-race daughter of a Royal Navy admiral who gets raised by her aristocratic great-uncle. That's all you need to know, right?
Okay.
There. Miranda Richardson stars along with Emily Watson, Matthew Good. Good cast. Here's a scene where one British dude is asking a very proper British lady out on a date.
Miss Lindsay, would you do me the honor of taking some air with me sometime?
Don't you care what people will say?
What is that to mean, Mr. James? What should anyone say?
That he would compromise a lady's reputation by stepping out with her, scarcely having made her acquaintance.
I think you are a great deal too anxious, brother. We should merely take a turn around Vauxhall.
I should be delighted, Mr. Oliver.
Oh, Kevin is so ill.
Oh, he cannot wait.
He cannot wait. He might leave the show early to get to the first screening.
There is no movie that's ever been worse for me to go see. That is horrible.
But Kevin, it's courting. It's
aren't you afraid of what people are going to say?
The upper classes dealing with their baser emotions and with a thin veneer of
whatever.
Sophistication laid on top. How do they cope with those things, Kevin?
Ugh.
But he sneaks into that girl's apartment later and plants a bomb, though.
Then it's loud and then I like it. Speaking of loud, here's Kevin's movie for the weekend. The Protector 2. The Protector 2 is just a kung fu explosion shoot Interpol Thailand elephants police gangster movie. I have no
I'm
idea
a fan
what it's
of
about,
all those things.
But I know it's very loud.
Yep.
And Kevin will like it.
Yep.
Here's some clips from the very loud trailer of The Protector 2.
They took everything he loved and forced him to fight.
You are witnessing the most powerful and greatest technique ever to exist.
I'm in. I will go to see that movie. Everybody on the party bus, we're going to the Cineplex.
It sounds like the kind of movie where you don't have to have seen the original Protector to get
no,
caught up.
Either. I don't think you'll be lost in the plot of Protector 2 if you haven't seen the original. Riz is in it, by the way.
Oh,
he
yeah?
loves him some kung fu. That
he
Riz
does.
He sure does.
Boy, yeah.
Walk of Shame for the Ladies opens up this weekend. This is the comedy starring Elizabeth Banks. James Marsden, Jillian Jacobs, also in the film. Elizabeth plays a reporter who dreams of becoming a news anchor, and she has the ability to have a job interview that will land her that dream gig. But she goes out to celebrate that fact the night before and ends up having a one-night stand with a stranger, and that leaves her stranded downtown in Los Angeles without a phone, car, ID, or money, and she's got 8 hours to make it to the most important job interview of her life. How will she handle the walk of shame? Here's Jillian Jacobs talking Elizabeth Banks into going out, and this is the domino that starts the other one falling.
I'm going to take you to a club, you're going to meet some young, stupid, hot guy, and you're going to take all your anger and your aggression out on his...
No, I don't do that with people. I'm more of a relationship type of girl.
We're taking you out. Come on, let's go.
Fine, but I'm wearing these sweatpants.
No, you're going to wear something slutty like Denise.
I don't own anything slutty like Denise.
Denise, give Megan your dress.
But...
No buts. You can wear one of her pantsuits.
Ew.
All right, Kevin, you have to see one of them. Do you see the British one or do you see this one?
I can't see the protector. I have to see one of the other two.
You have to see one of those two.
See Walk of Shame or you have to see Belle?
Walk of Shame.
Really?
No, Belle looks
horrible. Boy, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's the tough choice right there.
Can't Belle take the Walk of Shame? Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I had a one-night stand. However will my reputation survive?
I feel like the Walk of Shame is if someone sees you coming out of that theater.
Oh, snap! And lastly, this is the big one. The Amazing Spider-Man 2. This movie has everything. It's got Peter Parker. It's got the Norman Osborn. It's got Oscorp. It's got the Green Goblin. It's got the Rhino. It's got Electro.
I'm sorry. I don't speak geek.
Take it easy, Ralph.
Take a breath. Slew of supervillains up against Spidey in this film. The Sinister Six come together, bitches.
No, they do not.
They do.
Wow.
It's the beginning of the Sinister Six. And they're going to get their own damn movie after this. Could I be more excited? No. Here's some clips from the trailer of The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oscorp.
And you
under surveillance.
Why?
Isn't that the question of the day?
Nothing is what I thought it was.
I once told you that secrets have a cost. The truth does, too.
My name is Richard Parker. I have discovered what Oscorp was going to use my research for.
I'm the only one who can stop them. I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah! $100 million this weekend. That's what they're projecting for Spidey 2.
So good.
So just give in, people. Just don't even try to fight it. Just get your ass to Spider-Man 2 and just sit down and take your popcorn out and just go nuts. Just go nuts with Spidey. Start spinning some webs. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Get your web shooters out and just start.
There's no such thing.
Just start slinging your webs.
That's just.
I got a web slinger.
Okay.
Maybe you have no such thing, but I got one.
Ew.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman.
Our friend Michael Schneider, LA Bureau Chief of TV Guide Magazine, will be here in about 20 minutes. Got an update from him on some of the new TV shows that are coming out and who will be the new voice of late night TV. Who's going to take over for Craig Ferguson? We'll find out from Michael coming up in just a few minutes. Also, we got Ryan Getzlaff from the Anaheim Ducks on the program today. And we're going to give you some tickets to go see Ducks versus Kings in round 2 of the Stanley Cup. It's all on the way from K-Rock.
Speaking of athletes, it does seem like if you're a professional athlete and you hurt yourself in a really lame way, you make up a good story. You lie. You have to lie, right?
who's your buddy who got hurt making pancakes?
Dustin Penner.
Dustin Penner.
Yeah.
And that was – he got mocked forever after that, as well he should have been, right?
And then traded.
Yeah, he did.
Are you suggesting that one led to the other?
I don't think everybody shares my disapproval of him. But Matt Cain, we can all agree on from the San Francisco Giants – is a dumbass.
What right? happened to Matt?
He was making a sandwich before the game at the team kitchen at AT&T Park.
Okay.
Just before warm-ups, he was making a sandwich. He drops the knife and tries to reach down and grab it before it hits the floor.
Why?
Which he is successful doing.
Okay.
But cuts his right finger, index finger, so he can't pitch that night.
Yeah!
He was scheduled to pitch, and instead, he grabbed the knife before it hit the floor and cut his finger.
Unbelievable. You would think that if you're a Major League Baseball pitcher, just like if you're a professional musician, that you would really be conscious of treating your hands like precious weapons.
I would think so. That's how you make your living, your hand and your arm.
That's right.
But no, cut it. Was unable to play that night.
And that's way to screw up the rotation, by the way. When it you know, when it comes to the starting five, you know, you just throw everything out of whack if all of a sudden at the last minute game day you decide, hey, I can't pitch or whatever.
Hey, so,
you got to check by a bear. A bear came into the came into the locker room and you wrestled into the ground and got slightly injured.
You can't say I was making a sandwich. You can't anyone that story.
Well, I don't know if he's clumsy or it was just one of those things or whatever. By the way, he is the second member of the San Francisco Giants who got hurt grabbing a knife out of midair in the last couple of years.
What's
so you think
happening?
You think he would have learned from the other guy. But we asked producer Dave, is there any way in a million years we can talk to Matt Cain? Even though he is a dreaded San Francisco Giant, we welcome him to the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. You didn't see this one coming, did you? That had to be a bad surprise for you.
Yeah, one second you're making the sandwich, and then the next time, you know, you're out of the rotation. So
yeah,
not ideal. No.
Did you tell your manager the true story?
Yeah, I told him what happened, and it wasn't even a bad cut, but it was in a bad place on the hand, so every time I tried to throw during warm-ups, it just kept opening up and bleeding. So
right.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense. You can't pitch with a cut finger there. But what was going through your mind? Like, was it just a reflex action? You saw the knife fall, you just had to go for it without even thinking about it.
That's exactly it. I was just making the sandwich, and the thing slid off the counter, and I went to grab it. And, you know, I did catch it, but I caught it blade first.
Yeah.
Kind of. Took a little nick out of my hand, and nobody feels like a bigger idiot than I do.
I hate to point out the obvious, but it's okay if a knife hits the floor.
Yeah, I know. It was just, okay. It wasn't a conscious decision.
I see.
You know?
Okay.
I just went for it, and I guess my reflexes were too good for my own good.
Are you taking a lot of heat from your fellow team members?
Hold on a second, guys. A little warm in here. Let me open a window here. I'm here. To...
Oh, jeez.
Ow! Ow!
What just happened?
Matt!
Ow. God, okay. Damn it.
What happened?
The window closed on my hand. Ow!
You said you were opening the window.
I did, and it slammed shut.
Oh, no.
That's unfortunate.
Jesus. Ow. Why is that window so slippery? Ow.
Yeah, it's probably the window's fault, all right?
I got to sit down on this couch.
You all right?
Ow! Ow! A spring came out of the couch! There's a spring in my ass!
That can't be good!
Ow!
You're having a bad morning, man!
How many holes are you supposed to have in there?
Oh!
Ow! Alright, I gotta make some toast. I'm hungry.
Maybe you should be careful. Oh, no!
I was a short in the toaster. I'm electrocuted.
I'm
just gonna have to play some accordion. And...
Why would you?
Ow! Ow! I broke my wrist playing the accordion.
How do you break your wrist playing the accordion?
I pressed the accordion too hard.
Why are you playing the accordion?
Ow! It makes me relax.
Doesn't sound like it.
I gotta spray a little cologne on myself to freshen up a little bit. Ah, it's in my eyes! Cologne's in my eyes! I can't see!
Poor guy!
Where's my dog? Come here!
Oh, no!
The dog is biting me! Get off the dog! I have to write an email to the team saying I can't make it to the game.
All right.
My fingers broke on the keyboard.
What?
My fingers broke on the keyboard.
Typing an email?
All the fingers just snapped in half. Ow. Oh, I have to write a letter with this pencil. Oh, it's in my eye. The pencil's in my eye.
How did the pencil get in your eye?
Oh, no, the pencil's in my eye. Ow! Ow! Ow!
Oh, Matt, you just got to lay down. Today's a wash for you, sir.
Okay,
right? I'm sorry. I'm sorry we called.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Kings of Leon, October 3rd at the Hollywood Bowl. Verizon Wireless Amphitheater on October 5th. Tickets on sale for both shows tomorrow at 10 a.m. But we've got them in the front mother-effing row on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll give them to you before 8 a.m. How about that? Front row seats for Kings of Leon. We're going to do like we did last week for you with the Kevin and Bean Phrase That Pays. When you hear the following words on this morning's – not yet. When you hear the following words on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show before 8 a.m., be caller 20 and win the tickets. The phrase that pays is
– blurred lines. Blurred lines.
That's the phrase that pays.
Blurred lines.
That's the phrase that pays.
Blurred lines.
Right.
One more time.
Phrase that pays.
Blurred lines. Why do I get the freaking
I can give it to you.
I'm the guy doing this. Right,
you get kind of stingy with the echo.
You got
there,
reverb.
Kevin.
Everybody else gets it but me.
All right, we all have reverb.
Blurred lines.
I should have had that in
phrase
the beginning.
Phrase that pays.
Blurred lines.
The phrase that pays.
Is blurred lines.
For Kings of Leon tickets.
Blurred lines.
The phrase that pays.
Blurred lines. Front row.
Blurred lines.
Sometime in the 7 o'clock
blurred
hour.
Blurred lines. Hey, how's
not
it going?
Now, but
hey, what are you doing over there?
In the 7 o'clock hour.
What's going on?
We good?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Somebody flush.
We are chuckleheads, by the way. Hey, Ralph's here. Type of the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Hey, before I get the showbiz beats... how about I give you stuff?
Sure.
Passes to the K-Rock screening of Neighbors.
Yay!
It's happening at the AMC Burbank 16 on May the 6th. This movie stars Seth Rogen, Rose Byrne, Zac Efron. Looks very, very funny about a couple with a newborn baby who unexpectedly end up living next door to a fraternity house. And that's when the war begins between the two. Movies in theaters everywhere on May the 9th. You, however, will be able to see it on May the 6th, days before your friends at the AMC Burbank 16. If you call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through, we'll get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of Neighbors. Really does look funny.
It does.
Hey, that V. Stiviano, she's a gem, isn't she?
Oh, my God.
She, of course, Donald Sterling's... I'm assuming now one? Ex-girlfriend.
Oh, I'm sure it's ex now, yeah. That wasn't before.
Who, I guess, was the one who released that tape. She recorded it, so I'm assuming that's where they got it from. Although no one really has said, really, what the source was, have they?
Yeah, no. But by law, doesn't it have to be one of them, I think?
Not if he was recorded with his permission, apparently.
Oh. Okay.
Regardless... famously on that tape, Donna Sterling has said to her, you can do anything you want with black guys. You can F them, you can feed them, you can bring them here, but you can't take pictures with them, post them on Instagram, embarrassing me publicly, you pictures of black guys. So, being the opportunistic businessman he is, Steve Hirsch of Vivid Entertainment has stepped up and said, here's the chance for a little revenge, V. Stiviano. Now that you're not... you don't have Donald Sterling's money to spend anymore. You can make your own money by starring in a sex tape for Vivid with, as he put it, the most well-endowed black men in the porn industry.
All right.
V will have a chance to cash in on her 15 minutes of fame if she takes Hirsch up on his offer. He's given her 24 hours to make a decision. So we'll keep you posted as to whether V. Stiviano, V gets the big O.
Have you
That's
seen
what I would call the tape.
Have you seen her walking around with that welder's helmet? Ralph?
Yes,
you seen
I
the
have.
Pictures of
I've seen her with her visor,
and
her
she's
full
got.
Face visor.
Why does she have a welder's helmet
to hide her face?
Oh.
So that people won't notice her.
Oh, I see.
That's
right.
Why she's walking around looking like she's in a hazmat suit.
And she also has her big, beefy, by the way, black bodyguards who are wearing hats with her name on them.
Yes.
What?
V. Stiviano. That's how incognito she's going.
And
kidding?
Her security are walking billboards.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Would not surprise me at all if she took Hirsch up on his offer, by the way, because from what I can tell, she doesn't have a lot going on.
Right.
She is a model.
Right, yeah. In quotes.
In quotes. That's how they... media tag her, but for the most part, I don't remember her doing any actual modeling. She puts a lot of pictures of herself from Instagram up.
Right.
Right.
I think she could also get a spokesperson contract for Proactive. I think she could get a job with them.
You think so?
Too. Yeah. Don't want to get any high definitions of V's.
No.
High definition pictures of V's face. That's all I'm saying.
Look, I'm never going to feel sorry for Donald Sterling. And his $1.9 billion. But I look at her, and I also look at his wife, and he didn't have very many good choices in that deal.
Well, listen, bad people tend to surround themselves with bad people,
yeah.
I've found. Very rarely do you see wonderful people attending to the needs of heinous people.
Yeah, you're right.
And did you notice he sounds desperately unhappy on that tape, too? Like a really, really unhappy person.
Yes, I get the sense he is tragically unhappy. And now, what's the story? He's got cancer, right?
Prostate cancer, according to the New York Post, yeah.
Jeez. What are the odds there would be something sick and dark inside of Donald Sterling that would be eating him from the inside out? What are the chances that could be happening? Symbolism, party of one. I have music from beyond the grave.
You do?
I have been to the other side.
When were you to the other side?
I go periodically. They have a Dunkin' Donuts over there, and I like their coffee. So I go to the other side before I come to work sometimes.
Okay.
Michael Jackson has a new song out.
He's prolific. I'll give him that.
He sure is. The first single from his posthumous album, Escape, dropped this week. It is Love Never Felt So Good is the name of the song, originally written in 1983. It is a song that also now features Justin Timberlake.
Huh.
Well, does that mean they took Michael Jackson's voice off of part of it to put on Justin Timberlake's voice? Because that seems ill-advised.
I think Justin just sings an additional element to the song. It's a song that Jackson wrote and recorded in 83, and then they added some Timberlake to it just to fluff it up a little bit.
Gotcha.
Anyway, here is a little sample. This is, I don't know, I was going to say this is real. I don't know if it's going to be real or not, because I never know what Kevin or Bean are going to play when I ask for an audio clip. But eventually you will hear the Michael Jackson song.
How dare you?
Love Never Felt So
Good. If you set up the Michael Jackson song, we're going to play the Michael Jackson song. That's how we are.
Here it is new Michael
Bow
Jackson.
To the wow, creeping and crawling, yiggy yes yallin', Snoop Doggy Dog in the mother loving house like every day, dropping hits with my brother, Mr. Dr. Dre.
Man.
Yeah. Don't edit that off the clip. Keep that in. That's tasty.
Why would that be
so good?
All right, here's the clip.
Love it, by the way.
It's not too bad. It sounds like
it's disco
from 1979.
It sounds like Off the Wall. It sounds like something Off the Wall.
But it's kind of refreshing in comparison to all the Justin Bieber auto-tuned crap we get out of pop music mostly. Play that one more time.
Well.
Oh, okay, or don't.
You want the first part? I got it.
All right, here we go.
So good.
That is so good. I really enjoyed that.
It's really pretty good.
What's up with that?
Michael Jackson is making better music dead than most people are making alive.
He was holding on to that all this time?
That's crazy, right? Today's celebrity birthday is Christine Baranski, 62 years old today. You know her from The Good Wife. Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, is 42. David Beckham's 39. Jenna Von Oy turns 37 years old today. Actress Ellie Kemper, who I just think is adorable, she's 34 years old. And Lily Allen, another little cherub that I just want to nibble on. That sounded creepier out of my mouth than it did.
That was pretty creepy.
In my mind.
Yeah.
She's 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Kings of Leon tickets. Get ready with the reverb here, Kevin. Kings of Leon tickets in the front row this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time for The Phrase That Pays.
That was less than I had hoped.
Do we not have much reverb? Did we script the reverb?
It's not working now. I pushed it. Stop pointing at it, Muggs. I pushed it.
Well, I'm not going to say it then if we don't have the reverb. But if you know the phrase that pays, we'll have it for you this hour when you hear it be caller 20. It's too late now. Lost the thread of it.
All right.
When you hear it be caller 20 this hour, the Kevin Beach, you'll win your tickets in the front row. Hey, Michael Schneider from TV Guide Magazine is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
I'm just sorry you had to see that.
I love that I saw that. It's a magic in action.
It's kind of ugly.
Can I also win with a sticker and stick with a winner?
That's correct. Yes.
Absolutely. We are ruling the pools and the schools this summer. Hey, Michael, I'm so glad you're here because, man, your business, you are the LA Bureau Chief for TV Guide Magazine. Your business just gets more, there's more of love it. It seems like every day. There are more entertainment choices than ever before, and you're covering it all. It must be crazy how much stuff you have to keep track of.
It's hard to keep track of it, and there's constantly, every day, there's a new sort of channel or network popping up doing original shows, or Xbox now is doing original shows, AOL, Yahoo. All those guys now want to do it, too, because they all have Netflix envy. They saw how well Netflix did. Now everyone needs to be in the original program business, so there's just a lot to watch.
It's sort of funny how long it took people to... They left Netflix out there on their own for a long time just to make sure it worked
before
they started jumping in.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone expected it to work as well as it did. I mean, they came out, and suddenly all these shows, House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, The Return of Arrested Development, they all did so well.
They were all great.
That doesn't happen. You know, no one comes out with their first three shows, and they're all big hits, and they're all shows people are talking about. So,
and you said it, man. Big hits. I mean, they had every bit as much, even more water cooler talk and more word of mouth than anything that's on even a regular major network.
And you know what's genius is we're calling them hits, but yet they don't report ratings, so we still don't know how many people watch those shows. We just assume because we're all talking about House of Cards and Orange is the New Black that they're big hits. It's but Netflix doesn't have to speak to ratings, and they're not held to the same accountable the way other networks are. So it's smart, and that's why they're laughing all the way to the bank. Their stock price is up, and more people are subscribing. It's ridiculous.
So they do make money, whatever it's costing them to make those shows. And it can't be cheap to get somebody like Kevin Spacey to work for you. They're still getting enough subscribers and enough renewals that it's obviously economically feasible.
Yeah, they're on the upswing. They're getting more subscribers. They're making more money. I think their results are, every time they report new results, earnings, they're doing better than ever.
Wow.
So if you're the guy who's the head of Netflix program and you're smiling, it's a good time.
You talk about the competition. Let's talk about Amazon for a minute, because I am increasingly seeing ads for things. Like, I love Hannibal, for instance, that Friday night show on, is it NBC, I want to say?
Yeah, it's on NBC.
Okay.
It's so good.
And they're advertising, hey, if you want to see previous seasons and episodes of Hannibal, it's on Amazon Prime. What are they talking about? What's going on there?
Well, they're being aggressive because they want to get into the original programming business, too. They've actually picked up a bunch of shows, including a new one from Chris Carter that's going to be coming on, and a bunch of other shows, too. But in order to get people to start subscribing to Amazon to see those shows, they know they need to lure them in with shows that they already know about. So Hannibal, but they also stole the entire run of 24 that used to be on Netflix. Now if you want to catch up on 24 before the new one comes on, you got to go to Amazon.
Oh, that's the only place showing it.
Yeah.
Same with Hannibal?
So
The only place that's showing it is...
Those off-net, those episodes that you can't stream them anywhere else other than on Amazon. They picked up all the Nickelodeon shows, too. So if you got kids who love the Nickelodeon shows, you got to pick up Amazon. So they're in the game, too, because they want to start to really beef up their subscriber base to watch all these new shows that are coming down the pike.
Now, when you say become a member of Amazon, is it just – it's the Amazon Prime, the same thing that you have if you want the free shipping, right? It's $79. It's soon to be $99. But that's all you have to pay to have access to all those shows?
Yeah, it's that monthly what is it, $9, $10 a month?
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's basically about what you pay for Netflix, which is about $8 a month too. But these guys now are also talking about upping those prices eventually. I think Netflix was just saying they're going to increase the price soon. So they got you hooked. It's like crack.
How much time are you spending watching shows that are internet only now, Michael?
That's part of it, but there's still so many great shows that are on broadcast and cable, and that's still the meat of what we talk about and watch. So, Hulu's got some great stuff coming on, and obviously Amazon, like I said, and there's all the Netflix stuff, but you can't get bogged down by every single show on YouTube.
Right.
So,
and I feel bad because, we had Tyler Labine on a couple of weeks ago, and he's a very talented, very funny actor. Of course, we know him from Reaper and other things, but he's got this series that's out, and now I don't even remember what the name is.
Debbie,
and we watched it, and it's really funny. But it's a special trip in your mind. You have to think, oh, yeah, I need to go over there to see that thing. It's certainly still not as convenient as just seeing it show up on your DVR every week.
Yeah, and they're promoting that one heavily, so at least you've heard about that one. There's a bunch of shows on Hulu that you probably haven't heard of because, they're not marketing it as much, but some great stuff. There's a show, Quick Draw, that's fantastic on there. There's just so much programming that not everyone's going to be able to watch it, but that's the way it is now. Maybe there'll be a shakeout at some point. I can't imagine all these programmers can keep spending all this money, but for now, this is the glory days, so enjoy it while it lasts.
Let's talk about this month. What's coming back this month that's good, and what's new that's good?
Well, the big thing coming back is 24, Live Another Day. So,
and that comes back when? Sunday?
That actually comes back the 5th, yeah.
Monday.
Monday. Monday the 5th at 8 o'clock on Fox.
Now, and the original thing about 24 is that every show was an hour in a 24-hour day. They've abandoned that for this reboot, right?
Yeah, it's 12 episodes, so obviously they can't do that. But they're still sort of – they're sticking to the letter of the law, so it's still going to be sort of in real time. You're just going to skip over some slow parts. You know?
Will he finally pee?
Well, that's going to be off camera now. Now you know for sure those off hours that they're not showing, he's just taking a big dump.
Okay. So, all right, good.
So
hey,
that's
hey, who's hungry?
Exactly.
I read that it's very rare for a broadcast network to cancel a show and then bring it back. Family Guy, of course, was one example, also on Fox, and now 24.
Well, you're seeing it more now because these are brands that people are at least familiar with. So, again, we're talking about there's so much programming. Well, how do you cut through the clutter? You give people something they already know. They give people something you know they want. And you know, it doesn't feel like 24 has been off that long, and it hasn't. It just went off in 2010, so it's a little ridiculous
that
we already have nostalgia for Jack Bauer. But you know, I think people still love that character, and they love that show. And Kiefer, I think this keeps him out of trouble, honestly.
It's probably good for him personally.
He's playing Jack Bauer, right? And it's a little different. I mean, it's in London this time, and, you know, he's on the run. He's a wanted man. He's a criminal. And
he still
and so,
plays by his own rules, though, right?
He's playing by his own rules, man.
He literally is going to save the world two or three times over the course of that 12 hours.
If you know what? They haven't changed the formula. So if you like 24, then it's the same exact show. And if you kind of got bored with it toward the end, that it's the same exact show.
Let's talk about one more thing that hasn't debuted yet. Then we have to take a quick break with our L.A. Bureau Chief of TV Guide Magazine friend Michael Schneider in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. And that is the return of Louis.
Yeah.
A lot of people's favorite comedian. Louis is coming back. Tell us about this
new
season.
Oh, I mean, it's such a fantastic show. And can you believe it's been off the air for 19 months? So
wow.
It's like,
is it really?
It's like an old friend finally coming back. And I've watched the first two episodes. By the way, the second episode of Von Hastrowski.
Yes.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
There we go. Ding, ding, ding. She's on that.
Fantastic.
So, by the way, she's also on 24. So she's sort
fantastic.
Of the thread that's sort of going through this whole segment.
That's a good thread.
But she's great in the second episode. And, you know, it's Louis. And you know how Louis's been getting darker and darker? Well,
yep.
This
yeah.
is probably the darkest
is
we've
really?
Seen Louis so far. So he's going to a very dark place. He talks about he's turning 46 now. And he's just kind of in this older place now and living his life. And it's so great.
I do love that show. And I think one of the things that makes it so great is it's so personal to Louis C.K. I mean, no one else could do this show.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, what's great, too, is he's got a lot of his buddies who show up. You know, Sarah Silverman's on it, Jim Norton. And there's even a great spot in the second episode where Jerry Seinfeld, who I know, take him or leave him, but he actually plays a really dickish version of himself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where he's really just awful to Louis. And
I love
it's
that.
It's hysterical. So tune into that.
What network's Louis on?
So that's on FX.
FX. All right. Michael Snyder's here from TV Guide Magazine. Much, much more to discuss, and we'll continue right after this on K-Rock. Got tickets for you to see the Ducks versus the Kings, Round 2 Stanley Cup Playoffs. You can win those later on today. And we'll also talk to Ryan Getzlaff from the Ducks next hour here on K-Rock. Right now, though, we're talking TV with our friend Michael Schneider, L.A. Bureau Chief of TV Guide Magazine. Follow him on Twitter at Franklin Avenue. How great is Fargo, Michael?
Fargo's fantastic. I'm doing a panel with those guys next week with Colin Hanks and Billy Bob Thornton. And, man, they're that cast, right?
Yeah,
ridiculous.
The cast is amazing.
Amazing. So that's a great show.
You know, and we just had Colin Hanks on earlier in the week, and, you know, I asked him, I said, when you heard they were doing a reboot of Fargo, what'd you think? And he's like, oh, hell no, you know, which is what we all thought when we first saw it advertised. We thought, you don't take one of the greatest movies of all time and then screw it up for television. And I'm not saying it's as good, but it's certainly nothing to be embarrassed about.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm really enjoying it.
They kept sort of the letter of the spirit of the movie and
which
really translated
difficult.
Well, which is difficult.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, if there's another season, which there is going to be, you know, Billy Bob's not going to be in it. So, again, they're going to have to reboot it and sort of, you know, you could see them bring in a whole new cast and, again, create the spirit of the movie and the show.
I'm excited to see Billy Bob and remember what a phenomenal actor he is, because he's one of those guys who has kind of become more famous as a celebrity than as an actor lately, and it's great to see him work again.
Yeah, yeah. I heard you guys talking to Colin about that scene between him and Billy Bob in that first episode where they just have that standoff, and Colin sort of stands down. That was great television.
Unbelievable. Girl Meets World.
Girl Meets World. I did not expect you to bring up Girl
either.
Meets World.
To be honest, that's a shock to me as well.
But there are a lot of people who are excited about it, though.
You are right. You know, whenever we mention Girl Meets World on our Facebook or Twitter account, it goes bananas. People are obsessed with that original show, Boy Meets World. It still does really well in syndication. So, yeah, Disney Channel is doing a whole new version. It's sort of the evolution with now the kid, the girl who's going to be in high school, and it's going to be start on Disney Channel in June.
So, I'm starting to bring that one up.
I'm starting to see this is the time of year where things start to get canceled. I saw that Almost Human was just canceled the other day.
Yeah.
How does it work? Where are we in the timeline? Is it every week we're going to find out more shows are gone?
Yeah, we're 2 weeks away from they call it the network upfronts in New York. That's where the networks unveil their fall schedules, and they also sort of officially say what shows are being picked up and which ones are canceled. So we're 2 weeks away. So get your Save Our Show campaigns ready right now.
Anything that you'd be sad to see canceled that is on the bubble?
There's a great sitcom at ABC that no one's watching called Trophy Wife because it's got a terrible title, but it's actually hysterical. It's a really funny show that should have been on after Modern Family.
I'm not sure I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, it should have been on after Modern Family. It's another sort of ensemble family, mixed family. It's just very funny, and it's sad to see that show not connect with viewers. I'm still kind of bummed that Revolution sort of didn't turn out the way I think people were expecting. I think people were expecting that to be such a bigger hit.
They also jerked it around a lot. Yeah. Like you had to meet a guy in a van to tell
exactly.
you what channel it's going to be
by
on.
A river.
What the hell?
Yeah, so that didn't help. And I think the show sort of changed gears a little too often. They acknowledged they made some mistakes in season one. And unfortunately, season two, they moved it to 8 o'clock and not as many people saw it. So that's kind of a bummer that I don't think that's probably going to be coming back. And then the big question is now we're waiting on Community. It's really 50-50 on Community or not that show comes back.
Now, I know that you have spent a lot of time with that cast. I assume you're rooting for it. You'd like to see it come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, that the whole six seasons in a movie mantra that they've made, if they actually get to a sixth season, then they've promised they're going to make a movie. So
I like Community a lot. I'm shocked that it's on NBC because, I mean, you see things like the G.I. Joe episode and you go, how is this not Adult Swim? You know what I mean? It's so crazy. It's so far out some weeks.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where you realize they're not doing themselves any favors if they want to be made for a broader audience.
Right.
But it is a great show. And these days...
But
you
that's
know,
sort of why you like it as much as you do. The people who do like it really appreciate the fact that they're out there.
Yeah, yeah. And you still you bang your head against the wall wondering why people aren't watching that show or Parks and Recreation, which is one of, if not the best comedy on television.
I agree. I think that is the funniest half hour on TV. I don't know why that's not a huge hit, but then I said the same thing about 30 Rock, too. 30 Rock, I couldn't understand why everybody wasn't watching. Let me ask you about a couple more things, Michael, of new shows that I hope you know about. Our friend Mike Catherwood's beautiful wife, Bianca, is one of the stars of a show called Undateable. That's premiering later this month. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, that's actually a nice ensemble show. It's coming on NBC later in the month. It's from Bill Lawrence, who did Scrubs. He did Spin City. He's done a bunch of shows. He's a good guy.
Cougar Town, I think.
Cougar Town, exactly. And so if you like those kind of shows, if you like that kind of humor, then I think you'll like this show as well. It's a great ensemble. It's a good group of guys. They're all comedians, which actually
helps
as well. They're funny guys. I know they do a lot of improv on the set, and they take the funniest stuff and put it in. So that looks promising.
What else should we keep our eyes open for in the next month or so?
Let's see. We're talking about Penny Dreadful, I think, off air, right? That show's coming on.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one.
That's coming on May 11th on Showtime. It's a spooky horror show that actually it merges different Victorian era mysteries like Frankenstein's Monster. There's some vampires in it. There's all those sort of myths and legends from that era, and it takes place in 1800s London, and it's spooky. It's creepy.
Love it.
Josh Hartnett's in it, and a bunch of great Eva Green, bunch of great actors. Ooh. So if you want to be spooked, and if you like American Horror Story, but maybe that show's a little too wacky, this reins it in a little bit, but it's still fascinating.
That sounds good.
Fantastic.
We had James Vanderbeek on the other day, and we were talking about his friends with the Better Live show, and we got on the topic of laugh tracks. I don't know if you were listening that morning.
I was, yeah.
Is there going to come a time here now getting deep into the 21st century where we can do away with the stupid laugh tracks that make every show worse?
Well, I think that's part of the problem with comedy's in trouble still. You know, there aren't a lot of hit comedies besides Big Bang Theory, which actually does have a live studio audience.
Right.
But, you know, networks haven't been able to really replicate that or have many other of these sort of big multi-camera sitcom hits, because I think to some degree when you turn in and you hear that laughter, it does feel dated. It does feel like a show that maybe you saw in the 80s or 90s.
It's not just that. It's also that then you have to question, was that joke funny enough for that laughter? And then you start turning on the joke, which may have been perfectly fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But doesn't need that over laughter.
And the producers always say, well, that was just the audience. They were hyped up. They were happy to be there. But then you're like, well, maybe don't hype them up as much. Maybe just maybe don't make with the ha-has, because
don't serve Adderall in the lobby,
right? Because it is off-putting. It is weird, especially when it's like a mild joke and the audience is just nuts, like that was the funniest thing ever. Yeah,
and then you go, no, that wasn't the funniest thing ever, and now you're rooting against it, sort of.
Yeah, I think that is hurting that.
So it's here to stay, basically. The same studio audience, literally in some cases, it's the same studio audience that was at an I Love Lucy episode in 1955, right?
Yeah, although again, you're not seeing as many of those shows. I mean, there are so many of these single camera comedies. And that's continued to be the fact of life. But, of course, those shows don't necessarily do well either. We're talking about Parks and Rec. So it's tough. I mean, everyone – these days, comedy is so subjective. Everyone's got their own sense of humor. If you like Adult Swim, then go to Adult Swim. If you like Comedy Central, you go to Comedy Central. So there isn't one place anymore for a big, broad audience, really, to watch comedy.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Hilarious. L.A. Bureau Chief of TV Guide Magazine. He is Michael Stender. You can and should follow him on Twitter at Franklin Avenue. Lots of exclusives there. And, of course, TVGuide.com. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks so much for coming in.
Matthew Spider, out.
I'm sorry that you're still racist in your heart. I'm sorry that you live in a world that's still...
How about your whole life? Every day, you could do whatever you want. You could sleep with them. You could bring them in. You could do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote it on that and not to bring him to my games.
Beer Mug is no longer the least possible man in least popular man in Southern California. Now it has been replaced by Donald Sterling. Everybody by now has heard the tape, heard the story about the man who is going to be forced to sell his Los Angeles Clippers. I mean, so much has been said, but I got to give credit to our man Jimmy Kimmel, because he took it to the streets last night.
You know what does suck before we get into the Jimmy clip? Is that Donald Sterling is going to make a ton of dough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the worst possible scenario we all say is, oh, let's make him sell the team. That'll show him. He bought it for $12 million. He's going to sell it for something north of $500 million. Some people estimate it could be worth over $1 billion to buy the
club. Same with Frank McCourt, by the way, who was, had to sell the Dodgers. He made a ton of dough after
running it into the ground, and then you get rewarded for doing just that. Exactly. Yeah. He's gonna ultimately win, because he apparently doesn't care what people think about him. So it's not like he's sitting at home weeping over this.
Yeah.
He's just sitting around going, I sure have almost $2 billion already. So anyway, back to Jimmy. So he goes out onto the streets, because we've seen all the talking heads. We've seen everybody from ESPN, everybody from Magic Johnson himself to the president weighing in on this. But Jimmy went to the neighborhood barbershop, and he talked to some guys there about what should happen to Donald Sterling and what they think about this story as it unfolds. And it's pretty sweet.
Were you surprised by Donald Sterling and what he said on that tape?
No, man.
Not really.
I feel like he smells racist. Like, you can clearly look at him. He smells racist for sure.
He smells like Mitchum deodorant or something. Like, something
like he sweats really racial expensive. Slurs is what I'm trying to figure out.
I don't think so. I think everybody was genuinely shocked. I don't think anybody really kind of like put him in that basket.
Isn't that funny that guy would say that?
Yes.
Because his whole entire life, Donald Sterling has faced these kinds of criticism.
Yeah, he's been sued a bunch of times. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think I wasn't shocked by it.
You're privy to those kinds of things. So.
I am a big part of the white community.
Of course.
At the meetings, this is the sort of thing we discuss.
Meetings.
But no, there have been a bunch of lawsuits filed against him. Many allegations of racism have been made against
him. Well, now anything he said, like if he didn't hold the door for you in the men's room, you're like, that was racist.
Let's talk about the girlfriend. We assume she's the girlfriend, right? V. Stiviano.
Yeah, what does that V stand for?
I don't know.
Vendetta? What does it stand for?
Side chicks are the devil, so just be careful. That's all I'm
saying. Side chicks are the devil.
They're the devil.
Is this the first time a woman on the side, the other woman, has messed up a man's career?
Come on, man.
I think that a lot of guys get it mixed up with having a side chick. They mess up completely by giving her way too much information.
Yeah.
She's a side chick. It's the reason she's a side chick.
Can I tell you something? I never heard the term side chick before. So
I'm
really
today's the first day. Side chick. So I don't even know.
Oh, side chick.
Side chick. Yeah.
Side chick. Yeah. Just like, imagine if you went to Wendy's and you got like a 5-piece nugget, and then they gave you an extra 6 nugget that you didn't even expect.
On the side.
That's the side chick.
On the side.
And then that side chick comes back to destroy your life.
What percentage of white people do you think talk like that in private?
All right, this is interesting. What percent of people do you think talk like that in private that are white?
Now, a lot of people were asking this question and saying, look, lots of people have these conversations behind closed doors. This is unusual because the rest of us were privy to that conversation. But I'd be willing to bet that there are a lot of old white people who feel the same way that Donald Sterling does, because that's how they were raised, right?
Personally, I don't think any of you guys think like that, because I still plan on making money with you guys. And I think that was a very random and singular
an isolated incident.
Isolated incident. And I think he'll, I mean, rehab. That's all he needs. A little rehab.
You can't go to, what are you going to do? What kind of rehab it is to love
you
black
can
people?
Go to racism rehab.
Go to racism rehab.
Racism rehab.
Yeah.
I think Mel Gibson went to it.
Do you think the penalties that the NBA handed down are sufficient?
No.
God, no. He should have got banned for like a Super Mario life. Like, he gets like a one-up, and he's banned for that whole life.
If Donald Sterling came in here and he said, guys, I've been thinking about it, I'm going to give this $2.5 million fine to you.
Man.
Would you forgive him?
I would accept it.
You would accept it?
I would take it under protest.
You know, white people are getting a lot nicer now to me just for...
Do you find that?
I find that really...
It changed the tone.
Yeah. Interesting.
Welcome.
Yeah, have you really found that, or are you joking?
No, he's serious. Welcome.
So it's like Christmas kidding. Time around here
Dude,
now.
That was so good. I ate for free today. Like,
see, it's getting better for black people because we all feel guilty that Donald Sterling insulted them. So we're like, oh, dudes, hey, sorry about my brother.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
Oh, Michael Jackson is back.
Woo! I thought he died. Did I see that somewhere? Maybe it was just in the post or something. It wasn't confirmed, but I'm pretty sure I thought he died.
Talent doesn't die, man.
Okay.
Talent is forever.
Like was cats, this in the news?
Musical, like musical cats.
Sure.
It's forever. The first single from Michael Jackson's latest album, entitled Escape.
Didn't you get the idea that after he passed away, there would be one album because he had that much material left? But I never even got the impression there would be another one yet. You guys?
I didn't know how much, you know, unreleased material was decent enough to put out. I mean, look how many records Tupac had. He had a lot more after he died than he did before.
The album will drop on May the 13th. So it's at a week and a half.
Yeah, that's a week from Tuesday.
Yeah. And the first single was released last night. It is a Michael Jackson song that was originally written and recorded in 1983. And then they charted it up and threw Justin Timberlake in there as a little bonus backup voice. And I got to tell you something. I was skeptical. Skeptical, I say.
Sure.
At this release. And then we've been playing it this morning, listening to it. And I got to tell you, it makes me want to shake my groove thang.
Does it make you want to shake your body down to the ground?
It does. Here's a little taste of the new single, Love Never Felt So Good.
That is a different direction for Michael Jackson.
I should have learned. I should know by now. I'm like Charlie Brown kicking the football is what I am. And you guys are Lucy.
Here's the Michael Jackson song.
That's so rock with you, isn't it?
I want to rock with you.
It is pretty much, yeah.
All night. Maybe like that's it. Why he never released it, because it was too similar to the
yeah,
other thing.
Yeah, could be.
But I'm telling you, I know.
It makes you shoot your grave.
But I dig it.
Yeah.
Now, I dig it like a garden.
Do you think it will be a hit? Will it be one of the songs of the summer that you're hearing out of the radios all over the, you know, all over the place?
I don't know.
Or is it just the novelty that people listen to go, yeah, that's okay. I don't know
if the cultural landscape is now
such that that kind of song would be a hit. It sounds like a throwback. It does sound like an older song. It does sound,
because I think a lot of popular music is right up the disco alley.
Well, maybe
these days.
Maybe
it is, but it also has a lot of junk effects on it that this one doesn't have. Maybe if they put a bunch of that on it, maybe then Kiss FM would play it.
Maybe if they auto-tuned Michael's voice.
Right.
Love won't let me wait. Have Bean do percussion with his mouth.
Yeah, put a little Bean
put
on.
That on.
We need a remix. Kevin Bean remix.
And then Ralph could whistle on it. It'd be perfect.
Yeah. Why is my machine turned off over here, Brim? Why did that happen? Do you have any idea?
Yeah.
You do? You have an idea?
I do.
What would the idea be? You say, let me just F up the Showbiz Beat by not putting the sound effect machine on?
No, Michael Schneider's phone was...
Oh, okay. Well, then by all means, turn it off and leave it off, because I don't need it. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
More music news. Paula Patton and Robin Thicke's split. The reasons behind it may be juicier than we had anticipated. Mm-hmm. Star Magazine is reporting that the longtime couple used to enjoy the company of another woman.
Oh.
Their relationship was what is deemed in the swinger business as a triad. Apparently it was Paula and Robin and another young lady who would swang with the kids.
All right.
Paula apparently lost it, however, when she discovered that her husband and their friend would sometimes not include her in the party times.
Oh.
There was a threesome action, and then apparently there was a twosome action sometimes over here that Paula was not privy to, and then she found out. Apparently there were some blurred lines between threesome and twosome.
That's not what you want.
So she was a little uptight, is what you're saying.
I'm just saying, she should, look, come on, can't we all just be friends? Can't we all just have a good time?
That's what I'm saying.
How could you possibly be angry? The three of us had a good time over here, and now she's our friend. We're just having a lecture. You weren't in the room. We didn't know where you were. You were busy. We didn't want to bother you.
Damn you, vile woman!
So, there is an insider who's got this story, by the way, who passed a polygraph test for Star Magazine with that story.
Okay.
But the singer's reps are denying the story, so who do you believe? Science?
She's a bitch.
Science or reps? I believe science. Science! And great news. Hot in Cleveland's been renewed for a sixth season on TV Land. Can you believe Hot in Cleveland's been on the air for five seasons?
What? No.
It's crazy to me to think that you have a show that stars a 93-year-old woman or whatever Betty White is now,
yes,
and you renew it for another year.
Valerie Bertinelli, Jane Leaves, and Wendy Malick also star on the show. That show averages 2.6 million viewers an episode, boys
and
girls.
What are you talking about?
That is a stone hit for basic cable.
No way.
It's a thing.
No.
There's so much TV on right now. There's so many shows.
That's
just
crazy.
There's a lot of shows.
There are a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Betty White is really old, though. They should just renew it one episode at a time.
They really should. How's she doing this week? If she answers the phone, we're shooting.
Betty, how you feeling? We got a script. We don't have to go with it.
Yeah. Somebody's calling me. I don't know why. Someone's got on the phone for me. I don't understand.
You don't know why.
I don't know why this guy's calling. He's interrupting my Showbiz Beat. Brian?
Yeah?
Why are you calling?
Because I heard blurred lines.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was the phrase that pays.
That was the phrase that pays. And what does it pay, Kevin?
It pays front row seats for the Kings of Leon.
Is that right, Pete?
That's absolutely correct. Yes. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
And you're in the grand prize drawing to be a king for a day. We might be calling you again on Monday to let you know you won the trip, the grand prize to see the band again in London.
Sweet. Thanks.
Thank you.
Calm down, Brian.
No,
please. We're worried about your health. Your heart can't take the strain. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Christine Baranski, 62 years old today. Wrestler actor Dwayne The Rock Johnson, 42. Can we just take a wrestler off his resume?
No, because he's wrestling again.
Is he wrestling again?
Yeah. Yes, he's back in the WWE. Yes.
Why is he doing that?
He loves it.
He works so hard to separate himself, to become an accomplished actor. Not just an action star, but like a really good, solid actor, comedian.
But he's still that.
Yeah, but then he go back and then he's...
He loves it.
How do you know he loves it? How do you know?
Because I'm a fan of The Rock. I follow The Rock, and I've seen him talk about it.
Are his hands precious weapons?
They are, as I heard a wise man say one day. Yes.
David Beckham's 39 years old today. Jenna Von Oy is 37. Ellie Kemper's 34. And singer Lily Allen celebrates her 29th birthday today. Give Lily a bell. It's her freaking birthday. Come on. She's adorable. All right.
Wow.
That's about as tepid a bell as you can get.
Hoochie coochie.
Hoochie coochie right. Indeed, sir. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
By the way, I will talk to the captain of the Anaheim Ducks, Mr. Ryan Getzlaff, later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then just after now, we'll give you a chance to win your tickets for round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Ducks and the Kings. That's all coming up here on K-Rock.
How much am I allowed to hassle?
None.
Really?
You are not allowed to hassle at all. He's doing us a favor by coming on the show. I know you're a Kings fan and rooting for the Kings, but out of professional courtesy and respect and to those listeners that we have who are also Ducks fans, you be nice to the man.
You think I'm professional?
Absurd. I think this one time you need to be.
All right. Let's talk about getting locked out of your house / hotel room, wherever you're staying, naked. Seems to happen a lot to our audience.
Yes, it does. It's been a long time since we've invited you to call in of stories where you got a door closed behind you and you had maybe no clothes on. We want to hear about it at 1-800-520-1067. Came up again yesterday right here on this show, right?
Yeah, we had Shy McBride in, and he was telling us this story.
2 o'clock, I'm still staring at the ceiling, so I decide to do the one thing that is guaranteed to put me to sleep, and that's watch The Godfather Part 3. if you can't go to sleep with that on,
I didn't think that's where you were going with that.
No, I was terrified where you were going with that thing.
If you can't go to sleep with that thing on, so I'm watching it on the terrace and having a cigar, and after it was over, I still couldn't go to sleep, and then I go inside my room and I locked myself on the terrace, and at the time I happened to be butt naked.
Yes. That sounded too excited.
The sun was starting to come up and everything, and luckily I had my phone, because if I didn't have my phone, this would have been a national news story.
Absolutely.
And I finally got the guy from security to come up to my room, and he comes out and he says, "Hey, Mr. McBride, we finally got you." Oh, come on, man.
That's great to Shy McBride, who's an actor on Hawaii Five-0, which airs tonight again on CBS. By the way, I didn't know that you could have a door between the balcony and your hotel room locked behind you. That was a surprise to me, but I didn't want to challenge him on that point because clearly it happened to him.
Yeah, I don't know either. But
it seems kind of weird.
It is funny.
Kevin, you had it happen to you one time. Fortunately, you were in your own house, right?
Well, I was getting something out of the garage. Yeah, I was at my house, and that door closed behind me and locked. So, and I didn't have any way of getting in the house now except for the back door, which was open. But I was in the garage, so I had to crawl along the wall. The next-door neighbors were having a party outside. They were having a barbecue, and there were probably 50 to 70 people out there.
Was your family home?
No.
Okay, good.
Nobody was home.
Because I'm sure that would have made it even worse to think, you know, you've got kids in there or something. They don't want to see dad marine crawling naked across the backyard.
So I marine crawled across the backyard, not knowing I was listening. I didn't hear anyone say anything, but I imagine they all pointed and laughed.
And you had a back door open? You
yes.
Didn't have to crawl in the doggy door?
Yeah,
well,
I had
that?
A back door open. All right.
Muggs, how has this never happened to you, as sloppy drunk as you get?
That'd be a lot better if he was listening, wouldn't it?
Are you kidding me?
Like, if he was listening to the show and then he could have responded to that?
Is he in the room and not listening to our show?
He's in the room. Yeah.
All right, 1-800-520-1067 is our toll-free number here on K-Rock. We're taking your calls of you got locked out of someplace, a door closed behind you, you were naked. How'd that go? Tell us a story. Let's go to James. He's up first. He's on line 4. He gets us going here on K-Rock.
Hey, James.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, Lisa May?
Great. Oh, I had the best time. I'm never having Kevin fun in my life. Oh, Kevin and Peter are so sexy.
All right, where were you, James? What happened?
Okay, so I was in Vegas with a bunch of friends and thought it would be a funny idea to streak down the hallway in the hotel room.
Right.
So as soon as I come running down the hallway, one of my other friends decides it would be funny to lock me out.
Your other friend, by the way, just for the record, I just want to interrupt here and say for the record, your other friend did the right thing.
No.
No, okay.
So, turns out they were having, like, a Christian convention at the hotel we were staying at.
Oh, no.
So I'm standing out there banging on the door trying to get in, and out comes a full family of, like, 8 people.
Oh, fantastic.
Standing in the hallway. I never ever read in my life.
You got your hands covering as much as you can, right?
Oh, of course.
Then what'd you do? So they walk by. You're still locked outside. What'd you do?
Finally, my friends let me in. The lady covered her kid's eyes and kept on strolling. Like, nothing happened, and it was just one of the most embarrassing points of my life.
Did you say anything to him? Hey, how's it going in Vegas? You guys having fun?
No. I just kind of looked at the wall with my ass pointing towards them.
So let me ask you this. As embarrassed as you were, after a while, you agreed with Kevin that your friends did the right thing, right? It was hilarious.
I think it's hilarious, and I would probably do it again.
There you go. Exactly. Right. You got to pass it forward, man. You got to pay it. You got to do it to somebody else. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. One of my friends drunk enough to go run around naked.
Yes. Thank you, James. I appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. The door closed. You're outside. You're in the hall. You're in the yard. You're wherever, and you're naked. We want to hear your stories. We'll take them next on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. You got locked out of someplace without any clothes. On. Always entertaining for everyone else. Not so much for you, perhaps. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Happened to our guest yesterday, actor Shia McBride. Happened to Kevin before. And apparently it also happened to Sarah, who is on line one. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on.
Hi. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I want to hear about you being naked.
Well, I was on vacation. I was on vacation and after the bars one night decided to go skinny dipping at our hotel. And when I came back, I did not know what room I was in.
Sweet.
And even if I did know what room I was in, I did not have the key. So I had to scour the entire hotel for a towel. And sure enough, I was found sleeping in the hallway with a towel on.
Oh, my God. You just fell asleep there? Wouldn't you go into the lobby and ask? Oh, you don't have ID.
It was pretty bad.
That's fantastic. So how did you eventually get back together with your people and get back in your room?
Well, the security guards who monitor the halls found me asleep outside and kind of, you know, located my people. And
that's fantastic.
That is fantastic. And you said, Mom and Dad, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to.
All right, Sarah, thanks for listening. Thanks for the call. Let's move on to Jennifer next. She's up next. She's on line two.
All right. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
What happened to you?
Well, thank God it wasn't me, but it was my husband. He was in his office up in San Francisco, visiting office, and went out with the guys after work, decided to come back, didn't want to go back to his hotel because he was just wasted. He couldn't find his way back to the hotel.
Right.
So he proceeded to take off his clothes, fall asleep. Well,
where?
He had to go to the bathroom.
Wait, where did he fall asleep?
In the office floor. It's a big old office, just took off his clothes, fell asleep.
Okay, good.
He had to go to the bathroom, which was not attached to the office.
Mm.
Walks out the door, through the hallway, door slams behind him. He's in a high-rise building, butt naked, cannot get back into the office.
Sweet.
It's the best.
That is
sweet. Had to ride the elevator down 20 floors, cuffing himself to get to the security guard, and had to ride the elevator back up. 24 naked with this poor guy.
That's fantastic.
I bet the security guards at hotels see that all the time.
I bet they do.
I'm sure they do, but how do we get video of it? That's what I want to know.
That's a great question.
That's some good blackmail right there.
Yes, it is.
How do we get video of it?
Love it, Jennifer. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Ryan. He's up next. He's on line four on K-Rock.
All right. Hello, Ryan.
Good morning.
Welcome. Tell us how you got locked out. What happened?
Well, my wife and I were having a big night out. We come home, there was a lot of drinking, go to sleep, and like most men, I sleep naked. My dog always likes to wake me up about 2 or 3 in the morning to take her out to go to the bathroom. So I do that, and I decide that I have the good sense to decide that I don't want my daughter, who's also in the house, to see me naked, so I close the door behind me.
Right.
But I close it all the way.
Yes, good.
So my dog... going to the bathroom, and in our little alcove, we have some rose bushes right below. I reach my arm out to lean against the wall. I miss it, and I go tumbling butt naked into the thorny rose bushes.
It just gets better and better.
You can't make this up.
That hurts.
And I'm trying to push myself up, and the thorns are only going into me deeper.
Sure.
I decide whether to try to yell for help, and I think I'm not going to let anybody catch me like this.
Right.
I eventually get out. I have to go around the house. I test every door, every window. I have to go to the dog door.
Can you imagine your daughter coming out to the kitchen or wherever your dog door is and see trying to crawl in?
I had a friend staying the night with us, too, so I wasn't about to let this happen.
Were you able to get in through the dog door?
I was able to get in through the dog door. I go shower up, get in back into bed. The next morning, I hear my wife say, "Oh, my God, what is it? What happened last night? This towel is covered in blood and all this dirt," and she looks at me.
She thought like you killed someone.
I had also, when I fell, hit my eye against one of the wood railings where our roses are, so I have this huge black eye.
What a night. That's fantastic. I just want to know, what would you have done if you had been too big to go through the doggy door? How would you have gotten back in the house, do you think?
God, I don't know. Let's just say that God smiled on me that night and made me.
That sounds like it. God was all over you that night.
Yeah. Man, did you have good luck?
Thanks for the call. How does he know that most men sleep naked? By the way,
I think he was just taking that for granted
because he does it, so everyone else does.
Why, what do you wear?
Pajamas. Oh. Do most men sleep naked?
I don't know.
Is that a fact? Do we know that?
I do.
Let's go to Paul. Let's do one more. He's on line three. This is a little different. Paul, you were in the water. You weren't standing out on a street or in a hotel hallway. You were in the water, right?
Yeah, I was body surfing at Manhattan Beach with a bunch of my buddies, and it was just kind of standard joke that we would take off our swim trunks and wave to our friends on the shore. One of my buddies snuck up behind me on his kneeboard.
I'm sorry. Hold on one second. So what happens in your group is that you go out into the waves, and then you pull down your shorts and wave?
And
that's a thing?
And bottoms and, the girls did that, and we did our trunks. But this buddy snuck up behind me and took my trunks.
So he did the right thing. So now
you're in the water, and you can't leave the water because you're naked.
Right. So I'm out there body surfing, and like 3-4 hours later, the lifeguard swims out to me and wants to know what's going on. And I tell him, because he's actually getting worried because I've been out there treading water for so long. And he goes up to the shore and convinces my buddies to return my swim trunks.
Ah, what a buzzkill.
After 4 hours, it kind of wore off and people were going home. And, it was time to actually give me my swim trunks back.
Yeah, that's not what you hope for that day. Good times.
Well, it was good times for everybody else, but, I did get kind of tired out there.
No, sure.
I would think your penis would never recover from the shrinkage of 4 hours in the ocean.
There was definitely some shrinkage going on, probably some hypothermia.
To this.
Brian Getzlaff, Anaheim Ducks.
Getzlaff. They cross. He has room. Getzlaff with a shot. He scores! How's that for leadership? Brian Getzlaff has tied it.
Make no mistake. Getzlaff is a wonderful offensive and all-around player, but he can also fight.
That's right.
And he took a pretty good left hand right there.
Getzlaff takes it right in the mouth. Penner gets it back in front. There's Getzlaff. There's the hat trick. Great play by Getzlaff. Bats the pass out of midair. And he scores again. Oh, my. He's putting on a clinic.
For the NHL Messier Award for Community Leadership and also for the Hart Award, where he is a finalist. We could not be more excited to welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show the captain of the Anaheim Ducks, Ryan Getzlaff. Hey, Ryan, how are you, buddy? Hello, Ryan.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
There he is. How are you feeling?
I'm doing good.
How's the mouth? I know you feel like you've probably talked about that too much, but none of us can get the image out of our mind of that picture you tweeted. We just want to know how you're recovering.
It's been good. You know what? It's been a little bit of a rough week, but a week and a half here. But things are looking up now. Everything's kind of healed up.
What do they do when you go back to the locker room and then you've got that giant cut on your face? Do they use glue?
No. They start stitching right away.
They stitch it up and then you go right back out?
Well, yeah, I mean, I probably would have, other than there was only 14 seconds left in the game, so I was kind of done. But, first our Dr. Grant just kind of panics when we get back there, and she always is sitting back there all nervous when people get cut. So,
yeah, of course. And I know a lot of people, look, if you play hockey for any length of time in your league, you're going to get hurt. But it's never personal. Like, you got hurt by Tyler Seguin from Dallas. Does he, like, get an apology to you, or is it just accepted that he didn't mean it, he wasn't doing anything on purpose to you, just as, just collateral damage?
No, I mean, the next game when I went on the ice, he kind of gave me a little nod, just saying, it's kind of sorry or whatever. There's no real, there's never an intent to hit somebody in the face with a puck, I don't think. So, I like to hope not anyway.
Hey, sorry about that whole puck through the face thing.
Yeah.
And then, if I'm not mistaken, then the next night your wife gave birth again?
Yeah, yeah. She.
What do you have, like 17 kids? Day. What's going on with you?
I got three now. We got two boys and a girl, so we got our hat trick going now.
Yeah, you did. Well, congratulations, first of all. But I think in future years, Ryan, maybe you just do the math, and 9 months before the playoffs, it's hands off with the wife.
Yeah, tell me about it. I know. we get bored.
Exactly, yeah. Sure. All right, so Ducks-Kings tomorrow night. This is the first time these two franchises have played in the playoffs, correct?
Yes, it is. First time ever.
That's unbelievable. That's going to be so very exciting. We feel like because the Kings series went seven games, to us it feels like the Ducks have had tons of time off. How long has it been since you guys last played?
I think we're going to end up with about 7 days off, which is nice. We kind of needed to heal up and stuff, and we had some bumps and bruises and those kind of things. So this week has been a good week of practice for us, and we'll finish it off today and get ready for tomorrow.
This is a classic situation where one of the teams has more rest, the other team plays the whole time, and you think if you're the team that plays, you hope you keep momentum going, and if you're the team that heals up, you hope to get momentum because you've been healing. How does it seem like to you?
Well, yeah, that's just it. I mean, you can look at it every different way, and there's probably 100 different scenarios where it's worked in somebody's favor the opposite way. So we feel good. We feel like we're ready to start playing again here. We're getting tired of practicing, so that's always a good sign. We're ready to play.
Now, a lot of athletes say that they don't care who their next round opponent is. It doesn't matter to them. They'll just beat whoever's put in front of them. But you were rooting for Los Angeles just because you have so much less travel in your future, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful not to have to get on a plane, that's for sure. But you know what, that series was such a hard-fought one. I mean, no matter who was coming out of it, we knew we were going to be up against a pretty tough opponent. So,
have you ever, I mean, very few teams have ever been in a situation where they've blown a 3-0 lead. But, I mean, you must have really been feeling bad for the Sharks, knowing how hard those guys worked to get to the playoffs, and then to lose it like that is just gut-wrenching, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? I actually did feel bad for them. I
didn't.
Not too often I feel bad for another hockey team in the league, but I felt kind of bad. Those situations obviously don't happen very often.
But you can count on the Sharks for it to happen, so I think that's a good thing.
No comment.
This is the voice of the captain of the Ducks, Ryan Getzlaff, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, who, by the way, only had 31 goals this year, 56 assists, and 87 points. An unbelievable season, which is why you're up for the Hart Trophy. How different does this year feel to you and the guys compared to the 2007 year you won the Cup?
Well, you know, we had much a similar year. I mean, I remember in 07 we started off the year really hot, and we came out and won 20 of 22 or something like that. And much like the same this year when we came out and we won all those home games to start the season. And I think that, you know, we had our lull throughout the year. And coming back after the Olympic break, we kind of had a little bit of a setback, but we were able to battle back and finish first in the West. So that's kind of what our goal was at the start of the year, and we were able to accomplish that. So much the same. I think that we have a group that doesn't ever give up, and we're never out of a hockey game. So that's good.
Do you follow much of the other series that are going on? Like, are you the kind of guy who will stay up late, like watching that unbelievable double overtime Boston-Montreal game last night?
You know what? I was up still. I wouldn't say I'm a guy that would sit up and watch it, but I was up still, so we definitely had it on in the background and stuff.
Yeah, there's never a time in Ryan's house where somebody doesn't need feeding. So I imagine you're pretty much always up.
Well, my wife's always up. I don't know about me, but...
But those kids wake you up, right?
The kids do. I mean, often. But our kids are actually pretty good sleepers. We got the new one now, and she's got my wife doing a lot of work. But I'm pretty useless with the new ones until they get about 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, they're no good until then anyway, Ryan. Don't even worry about it. You're not missing out on anything at that point. They're just little pooping machines.
No good until then. But.
Well, you sound like you're in a great place personally, professionally. You sound relaxed. You sound loose. You sound like you're a man who just wants to get out there and play some hockey tomorrow night.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's been going pretty well, and obviously there's been some bumps in the road with the puck in the face and all that kind of stuff. But overall, things have been really good. Obviously, I'm looking forward to get going here again in the second round.
Well, we're very, very excited for you. We can't wait. It's such a – I mean, we're so lucky. You look at how many cities don't have any teams in the playoffs, and we've got two, you know, in the Southern California region. So we're very excited to see how it all plays out. And by the way, a quick reminder for Kevin and Bean listeners, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Game 1 of Round 2 for the Stanley Cup playoffs next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So if you want to be there in person to see the game at Honda Center, stick around. We got those tickets for you. Ryan, we're going to let you go. Get back to it. Thank you so much for the time. Always a thrill, sir.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
It's Friday morning. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, no wonder Paul Simon didn't want to talk about his domestic abuse problems.
Ooh, more details?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, apparently he got his ass beat by his wife. That's the embarrassing part. It was Paul who called 911 last Saturday, then hung up. Cops showed up at their New Canaan, Connecticut home, and Mrs. Simon, singer Edie Brickell, told police that Paul did something to, and this is their quotes, break her heart. So she whacked him around a bit. Slapped him around. Edie is 48 years old. Paul is 72 years old and like 2 feet tall. It's really not fair. It was just well out of his weight class was that battle. And so now he's got to show up in court on May the 16th to go, yeah, Your Honor, my wife beat me up, but it's okay now. We're all good.
Now, they both are really downplaying it as being a minor scuffle, right? They
yes.
showed up
sure
together.
Sure, Paul is.
But they showed up together holding hands and whatnot and said
so
they
she
don't
wouldn't
need a restraining
beat his ass
order.
In the parking lot.
She's definitely bigger than him. There's no question about that.
Everyone is bigger than him.
Do we know what the thing is that Paul did that broke her heart?
Does not say here.
Bean needs to know.
I guess so. Not enough details.
I would like more information if I could.
No word on what the argument was about. But Paul is wants to play it down because he got beat up by a girl.
Yeah.
And Edie's playing down because she doesn't want to go to jail.
Let me just butt in and say there is a certain amount of strength to men should never hit women, even if they're being hit. You know what I mean?
I didn't say
no. So I'm saying Paul doesn't sound like fought back. Which is probably a good thing.
No, I'm not saying he should have fought back. I'm saying he got his ass beat by a woman.
Okay.
And how do you avoid that, I guess, is what the question
is. How do you avoid
is.
Getting your ass beat?
You defend yourself, first of all. I mean, he had cuts on his ears and face and stuff. Just put your hands up. Put your dukes up. Get into the cage.
She was throwing him around.
Put your elbows into the tight to the rib cage. Protect yourself at all times.
Just for the record, though, Kevin, you hate Paul Simon also,
I
right?
do hate Paul Simon.
So, okay, well, there, so you're I just glad, make sure. You're glad okay. that he got beat up.
Because he did all those great songs. You've got to hate him.
You've got to hate that.
Got to hate the guy who wrote Bridge Over Troubled Water. He sucks.
Oh, I've just got information here. What he did to break her heart. Oh. I just got added additional information. Apparently, he called her Al.
At no time did she ever say to him that you can call me Al. So
she never
there's
did.
There's the disconnect there.
That was pretty good. That doesn't even go in the file.
What?
That was sweet.
I'm stunned.
Bean file.
Smashing success.
Oh, thank you. Jennifer Lawrence is the hottest woman in the world, sexiest woman in the world.
Agreed.
According to FHM magazine.
Agreed.
This is the British edition of FHM, by the way. So there's a couple names you will be unfamiliar with on the top 10 list. But I think pretty much they got a pretty good... And I rarely say this about these magazine lists, but I think they got it right pretty much this time.
Well, they didn't throw a Miley Cyrus or somebody in there just
exactly.
to F with you.
You got Jennifer in the top slot, then Michelle Keegan, a British actress from a soap opera called Coronation Street, who's just a stunner. Think of, like, Emmanuel Shrieky, that kind of vibe.
Strong.
Rihanna's third. I might quibble there, certainly with the placement. Emily Ratajkowski.
Yes.
She's the naked girl from the Blurred Lines video. Kaley Cuoco. The Big Bang Theory is fifth. Mila Kunis, sixth. Beyonce is seventh. Lucy Mecklenburg, another British actress. Nicole Scherzinger is ninth. And Scarlett Johansson was tenth. So,
pretty strong.
Pretty strong list right there. You know, it wasn't on the list. Amala Lamuddin.
Well, that's an outrage. Who is that?
It's Clooney's fiance.
Oh.
By the way, Clooney, stop it. Stop it.
Stop what? You love Clooney. Everything
I know,
he does.
But it's
eventually, a man can only take so much. He can act, he can direct, he's handsome, fights for human rights.
Now what?
When he proposed to Amal Alameddine, word is, he personally made her a multi-course gourmet meal before popping the question. So he slaved all day in the kitchen, made this amazing gourmet meal, and then got down on one knee and proposed to her. How are we mere mortals supposed to compete with this man?
We can't. It's not worth it.
But women don't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, look at him. Look at George Clooney. He's fighting for Darfur. He's cooking his fiancée meals. He's getting older and better looking as he ages.
He is.
Why don't you?
He's better than all of us.
What are you, boys? To which we say, oh.
Boy,
but at least he also won an Oscar.
Whatever.
Clune. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lily Allen's 29 years old today. Ellie Kemper from The Office is 34. Jenna Von Oy celebrates her 37th birthday. David Beckham's 39. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's 42. And Christine Baranski, very talented actress from the Broadway stage and on television. You know her from The Good Wife. She's 62 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
One final look at the showbiz beat for the week with Ralph Garman coming up in a minute. But first, something very special. We're going to give away tickets for round 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Of course, as you heard us saying to Ryan Getzlaff, the captain of the Ducks last hour, it's the first time the Kings and the Ducks have ever met in the postseason. So it's very exciting. Honda Center is going to be happening. Game 1 is going to be tomorrow night. We have tickets for you right now at 1-800-520-1067. You're not going to believe this, but the game is called Hockey Star or Rocky Star.
Hey, now. You're a hockey star, get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a Rocky star, guess the right one. See hockey, this is Hockey or Rocky, with your host, Sylvester Stallone. Ow! Smash mouth in the house!
Hi, Sylvester
what
Stallone, how are you?
Happening?
How you doing?
I apologize for the intro. DJ Omar Khan is getting tired this late in the
I'm
week.
I'm confused because I heard, you know, Rocky Star. I thought, you know, it would be about me. You know, right. About Rocky.
Well, here's what we're doing, Sly, and you're going to help us with this.
About some ice game.
That's right. We're
hockey,
giving away,
right.
Giving away
yeah.
Tickets for Stanley Cup Playoffs Round 2. You're actually going to name three people's names. Three names are going to be read. Two of them are going to be people who are in rock bands that we play here on K-Rock. Very popular musicians that we play on K-Rock. They have songs that everyone knows.
So it's rock.
That's a, those are rock stars.
It
right.
Is rock more than
it's
Rocky.
Not Rocky star
well,
at all.
But we stretched it so
you know,
we
I'm
could.
Doing, I'm doing you a favor. I
right.
Try to come in and help you with your game and say it's Rocky Star.
Right, but we stretched.
And then it turns out not to be Rocky Star.
All right, it's not.
That's right.
It's...
Well, you're the Rocky Star. That's why you're here. You're the Rocky Star. You're hosting. So you're going to read three names. Two of them are rock musicians heard on K-Rock. The other is a hockey player, somebody who plays for either the Ducks or
right.
The Kings. That's what we're looking for. We want
all
you
right,
to
I
identify.
Understand.
All right.
Right, but this is for the call.
I understand the game.
For the callers, I want them to identify the hockey star, okay?
So three names. One
right.
Of them is a hockey star.
That's right. That's right.
And one of them, what team, like, you know, they'd be like, you know.
Be the Ducks or
Ducks
the Kings.
Or the Kings.
Ducks or Kings.
Right.
You know?
That's right. Now you've got it. Yes. Somebody who's going to be
right.
Playing this weekend. So let's meet our first contestant. Let's see how it goes. Again, it's hockey star or Rocky Star.
Hey, Brendan.
Hey, guys.
All right, pick out the hockey star, right?
Okay.
Rustem Badmajili, Hampus Lindholm, Shavo Adagian.
Let's go with Lindholm.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. Nicely done.
Hampus Lindholm. He's for the Ducks.
That's right.
The
defenseman
Ducks.
For the Ducks. Well
yeah.
Done. You are in the drawing to win the tickets for tomorrow night. Well
I don't
done.
Skate so much yourself because it's bad for the ankles, you know?
Right. We
by the way,
I didn't think that you played
you know,
hockey.
I was with Adrian. I just ran along, you know,
right.
Outside of it, you know?
Right.
By the way,
South
Rostam.
Paul, South Jersey.
Is a keyboardist for the Empire Weekend, and Shava, of course, plays bass for System of a Down. So that's how this game goes.
Let's go to Steve. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Have we described the game in detail enough for you yet?
Absolutely.
All right.
Sylvester?
Brad Delson, Guy Berryman, Tanner Pearson.
Which one is the hockey player?
One of those is the hockey player, you know.
Tanner Pearson is the hockey player for the Kings.
That's correct.
That's right. He's a forward.
Nicely done.
Yeah,
well,
always move forward. Never go back.
Okay.
The other guys are in Linkin Park and Coldplay, respectively. Who's next?
Next is Miguel. Hi there.
What's up, homies?
All right, here's your names. Jacob Silverberg, Nikolai Fraicher, or Tomo Miselovich.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? I
got to
say these names. You think you're in trouble? I'm in trouble.
I'm with Miguel, by the way.
Can you repeat those?
Yeah, all right.
Jacob Silverberg, Nikolai Fraicher, or Tomo Misilovic?
Silverberg.
Yes! Yeah. Impressive.
He's for the Ducks.
How about that?
Yeah. Nicely done. I think people are Googling this as they go.
I think they might be.
Son of a bitch.
Nikolai Fraicher, by the way, bassist for the Strokes. Tomo, of course, plays guitar for 30
I
seconds.
I ain't coming to cheat. You want to take a shot? Just take a shot.
All right. Dan is on the line. Hi, Dan.
What did you, nephew?
No pressure, but 3 for 3 so far in what I thought would be a very difficult game. So let's see how you do here, Sylvester Stallone.
Troy Van Leeuwen, Kirk Hammett, or Jake Muzzin? Troy Van Leeuwen, Kirk Hammett, or Jake Muzzin?
He's Googling. We can actually hear him Googling.
We can hear your keyboard.
Cheat, man. It's not right to cheat.
No, it's Muzzin.
Yes, it is.
It is Muzzin. How did you know?
You're so smart.
Yeah, he's like a savant. He's like a hockey savant, this guy.
Troy Van Leeuwen plays guitar for Queen of the Stone Age, Kirk Hammett, of course, with Metallica. All
right. Yeah, you talk a lot. You know that?
He does.
I'm trying to play the game here, and you keep talking.
I thought the listeners might be interested to know who the other choices were. We got time for a couple more, Sly. Who's up next, Kevin?
Sam, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good, thank you.
All right, here's your names.
Okay.
Colin Greenwood, Pat Maroon, or Caleb Followill?
We'll go with Maroon. Patrick Maroon.
Maroon is right.
Yeah, left wing for the Ducks.
Radiohead and Kings of Leon were the others, all right?
One more. Let's go to Chris. Hi.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We are good.
All right, here's your names. Dave Koenig, Brian Bell, or Nick Bonino?
Oh, Nick Bonino.
Nick Bonino, Banana Fanafino. You know, whatever it is. That's all right. You got it right, all right?
Yeah.
You got it all right.
He is, of course, the center for the Ducks. Dave plays for the Killers. Brian for Weezer. So everybody is in the draw, right? We got Brendan and Steve and Miguel and
Let's
Dan.
Let's give them all tickets. All right.
We have one pair.
You can do whatever you want.
We just have one pair of tickets.
It's not about how many times life knocks you down. It's about how many times you get up.
Who is our winner, please?
Brendan.
He won.
Congratulations, Brendan.
All right.
Enjoy the game. Thank you, Sylvester.
Yeah. Oh, I will.
The Rocky Star.
Rocky. 106.7 K-Rock. K-R-O-Q. It's Rodney on the Rock.
Hey, Rodney.
Just flew in from the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. My arms are really tired.
Ha, ha, ha. Indeed.
He's got a delivery that just can't be beat.
He owned it. I know that it's an old joke, but it was so fresh hearing the way he delivered it.
In fact, it was unrecognizable. That's how fresh it was.
That's on the air. Hey, Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat.
Selena Gomez moved out of her parents' house, bought her own $3 million home. They had a big falling out, apparently. She's going rogue on her folks.
Uh-oh.
What did they fight over, you think?
Oh, I don't know. A Canadian?
Yeah. Their parents finally said, you know what? Just stop it. Stop seeing that Canadian boy.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? That Jared Beaver? What's his name?
It is Jared Beaver.
Jared Beaver, right. Stop dating him. Stop dating Jared, Selena. And she went, no! You can't tell me what to do! I love him!
We're going
to
be for together forever.
And then she stormed out of the house and bought her own $3 million mansion. That's why you don't let your kids have money.
Yeah.
How do you supposed to have any control over your kid when she's got more money than you do, and she can go buy her own $3 million
house,
home.
Our rules. And she's like,
as long
out.
As you're under my roof, you won't see that Bieber kid. Well, I just bought a $3 million roof, Dad. So bite it.
She's 18, right?
Yeah.
Boy, that's awfully young to be living on your own.
Yeah.
And I love Selena Gomez.
All right.
Thank you, Jeff Garland.
All right, thank you.
There we got that. Speaking of romance, Katy Perry dating DJ Diplo.
Mm-hmm.
His mother, who gave an exclusive interview to RadarOnline.com, said she is thrilled about the relationship but hasn't met Katy yet and can't wait to meet her. She said her son doesn't discuss his new relationship with her at all. Because you gave an exclusive interview to Radar Online.
Right. Why would he?
Why would he talk to you about anything? Shut up, Mom. I'm moving out.
Katy Perry! Katy, hey, come talk to me about your leopard dress.
Come talk to me about your leopard dress, Katie.
That didn't work.
That's why she didn't rush over.
It turns out
I'm dying to talk about my leopard dress.
That did not work.
What are the odds that he's listening to the show this time, you think?
I'm listening.
Oh, okay.
50-50.
I'm excited about this. I usually don't like sequels. I don't like reboots. I don't like remakes. But I enjoyed this movie so much. It was kind of a sleeper, something nobody saw coming. I liked it so much, I'd like to see more of Gerard Butler from Olympus Has Fallen. Did you see that movie?
Yeah.
He played sort of the fallen from grace Secret Service agent.
Did the right thing, but got blamed for some bad stuff.
Ended up in a weird situation with the president, and they sort of had to team up and kick some ass. Aaron Eckhart was the president in that film. I enjoyed it enormously.
It was good.
They're making a sequel. Olympus Has Fallen 2.
Boy, that White House sure is...
Olympus is still down here on the ground. Just waiting to be picked back up.
That's not the official name yet. They may call it something else. But interesting premise. He is back on duty with the president and the president's team because of his good work in the first film. And so they go to the UK for a funeral of the British Prime Minister.
Right.
And the bad guys take advantage of this gathering of world leaders to start pop, taking them out. Assassinating the world leaders at the funeral of the Prime Minister. So this time it's the President, Gerard Butler, and a British secret agent from the MI6 all teaming up to stop assassins.
Is this 24 Live Another Day?
No.
I was going to say, between the Bond movies and Olympus Has Fallen and 24, London is just under siege right now.
It's the British invasion, my friends.
Seems like it.
V. Stiviano, the name you may be familiar with because of the Donald Sterling fiasco. She was the one asking the questions on that famous tape. Donald Sterling told her, don't get pictures with black guys. Don't bring black guys to my Clippers games. You can do whatever you want. You can feed them. You can sleep with them. Just don't have your picture taken with them. Well, Vivid Entertainment President Steve Hirsch has sent V. Stiviano a letter saying, let's take advantage of Donald Sterling's kind permission for you to sleep with black guys. Here's a chance for some revenge porn. You can star in a sex tape for Vivid with, as he put it, the most well-endowed black men in the porn industry.
She's a whore!
Which is saying something, by the way. Not just the regular black guys in the porn. The most well-endowed of all the well-endoweds.
Who's that one that that Mike used to love so much, his work? Who's the guy?
Shane Diesel.
Yeah. Shane Diesel, yeah. Yeah, he was the man, apparently.
He was Beepzilla.
That's right.
Correct. Yeah. But let's not cast any aspersions on the career of Lexington Steel either.
Another good one?
Or Mr. Marcus.
All right.
There's a lot of good work out there.
She could work her way around.
She could. Yeah. We could have an all-star. We could be like an all-star game. A la basketball league. We could
bring in
an all-star team just to shoot free throws in her hoop.
The box copy just writes itself.
It really does.
And she's likely to consider that.
She's a real slamma jamma. Posterized! I can just see all the different quotes you have on the box now.
I like it. She's likely to consider it because, A, she's a whore.
Right.
And I say that because, obviously, she's hanging out with 83-year-old Donald Sterling for the money.
Right.
And, B, that spigot has been turned off, so she doesn't have any other income coming in. So this probably looks pretty good to her right now.
She can make some cash and make some new friends.
That's right.
Where's the downside?
Right?
That's what I'd like to know. And Michael Jackson also used to like to have his picture taken with black guys. See the tie-in now?
I do.
That was my segue from one story into another one. And now he's got a brand new record out. Hard to believe the late singer is still pumping out new music, but this is from a new album called Escape that will be released on May the 13th by Epic Records. The brand new single dropped this week. It is a song that was previously written and recorded by Michael in 1983. They've spruced it up a little bit, slapped a little Justin Timberlake on there as well. And they released it this week. It's called Love Never Felt So Good. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty impressed.
Oh, no, my butt. Oh, no, my butt. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, my butt.
How do they leave that one in the vault for so long?
Oh, that wasn't the right one?
Oh, no, that was not the right one.
Oh, would you like to hear the right one?
Can I hear the right
one?
Here's
the Michael Jackson song.
I like it. I like it a lot.
You think it's a hit? You going to buy it?
I think it's a hit, and I think I'm going to buy it.
You know why B loves it so much? Because it just throws him right back into the days when he was spinning stacks of wax on the big flamethrower KGGBGB. And he was the man. He was doing the ins and outs and the time and the temps and hitting the post. And it brings him back to his kinder, simpler era.
PGC, I still love that song. From Nisi. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
Flash Phillips. Flash Phillips. WABA.
I like it.
Yeah.
Me,
Hey, it's me, GBGBGBG, and back, and I'll tell you, Michael Jackson never sounded so good as he does on Love Never Felt So Good.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it.
Flash.
I'm going to go get it. That's a keeper right
All
there.
Right, take it easy.
Flash wants to spin that platter.
Phillips.
This song is tight.
That's true. Celebrity birthdays. Actress Christine Baranski, 62 years old. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He is 42 years old.
Makes a lot of loud movies, Kevin.
He does.
I like to be your guy.
He is the king of louds. I love Scorpion King. David Beckham's 39 years old. Jenna Von Oy.
By the way, we haven't heard a word from David Beckham this year on his birthday. How are you celebrating, Mr. Beckham, with your manly voice?
Well, I thought I would probably grab my ankle. And scream in pain. And then my wife and I would go out for a sullen evening of not smiling.
There you go.
That's good.
So a happy time for you.
Jenna Von Oy is 37. Ellie Kemper is 34. And singer and just adorable little elf, Lily Allen, is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning at 7:15, we have details on the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014.
What the woo?
7:15, Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's a Monica.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
No, no, and no.
Roll another one.
Ticket Master.
Just like the other one.
Let's all.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Aww.
And I need another hit.
You, Bean. Oh, you're so annoying. Did you know? No, we didn't know. And guess what? We don't give a sh**.
Roll.
Picture there with a sudden move.
Just like the other one.
I was not impressed at all.
This one seems to be about to end.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
I don't have another cent.
I live down the street. I was just checking out the fire.
What do you think?
Pretty cool.
I don't want to guard that joint.
I love doing drugs.
Just pass it around.
There's got to be some downside.
Nobody's getting pregnant tonight.
I'll just pass it on down.
I just got three thank yous. Thank God, thank my family, and thank y'all.
Oh, you want to go, bitch? Let's go!
Any rational person feeling the way I do now would definitely stop.
Okay, guys, stop it now. Nobody wants to admit it's over, but come on!
Well, I think we covered it, do you?
I can't think of anything else.
Why are you forcing this down my throat? I'm finished talking to you. I have nothing more to say.
This is the CBS Radio Network.